season that you live. That's right. We're just glad to be in God's praise, in God's place of worship. Glad to give Him glory. Glad to honor His name. Look at somebody. Tell them, I'm glad to be here. Now, for those of you that didn't say that, just look at somebody and tell them, I'm just here. Amen. We do welcome you. Welcome you online. We're grateful that the Lord has blessed us to enter into worship. And I'm telling you that we have a special privilege of being able to worship God. There are many places where people either don't know about God or they can't worship God. Please do not take your worship for granted. Do not take your opportunity to give God praise for granted, because these are expressions of your love for Christ. Amen? Anybody love the Lord? Amen. Well, we've got an exciting message for you, and after our sermon today, we're going to serve communion. I thought about it as we share in communion. It's not just a ritual. This is not just a ceremony that we go through. As the table says, we remember. It is in remembrance of what Christ has done for us. We remember. And if you don't remember what He did for you on Calvary, you need to go back and study it in the Bible and say, Lord, thank you. He did not have to sacrifice Himself. God the Father did not have to allow this to happen. He could have shut up heaven and said, no one is going to be saved. But God did otherwise. He allowed us to come to Him through His Son, through the sacrifice of the cross. Never take that for granted. Never assume that you're so spiritual and religiously educated that you forget about the cross, because the cross is at the center of everything that you do. Thank God for the blood. Amen? All right, I'm going to invite you to our scripture today from Romans chapter 8, which you probably see it on the screen. You may want to get it out in your Bible as we're going to reference some other verses, but I want to actually begin in verse 26. Romans chapter 8. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we pray for as we ought, but the Spirit, who? The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Thus in the reading of God's word, we've already seen what we're going to talk about on the screen. What do you know? And do you know what's good for you? Amen. You may be seated. Father, again, we thank you for this opportunity of worship and praise. We thank you for the opportunity to hear your word. But Lord, we're praying that you would help us to be doers of your word. Help us to apply it today. Help us to live according as you have given us, that we might be obedient children, and that we might serve and honor you. We love you today, and we thank you for all that you've done and all that you're doing and all that you will do. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen and amen. Let me see the hands of you that believe that information is power. How many of y'all believe that? All right, we got a few folks. Few people probably saying, I don't know, he's going somewhere with this. Information is power, if it's good information. If it's something that can bring life to you, that is power. This verse talks about something that we know. Granted, you know a lot of things. You know a lot of things, but you don't know everything. Would you be willing to admit that? I don't know everything. And you've already said information is power. But you got to make sure that you know where your information is coming from. A lot of people have been fed information that is absolutely no good for them. No good. Absolutely going to do zero in your life. And there are a lot of people thinking that if I just get enough information. I didn't ask those some of you that didn't raise your hand. How many of y'all believe that money is power? Okay, I see that. I see where you're going with that. If you get the right amount of money and you can do good things with it, everything is powerful. But I'm going to tell you something. All power, absolutely all power, has to come from God. It can come from no other source in the universe except God Almighty. Some have taken these things, both information and wealth and the resources, and they've used them in a way that destroys. They've used them in a way that does not prosper. Think about some of the things that's happened in your life. You had information, it may have been wrong, you acted on it, and then down you went. Or you had resources, you used them the wrong way. Rather than building you up, it tore you down, right? So you've got to be careful what you know, and you've got to be careful about what you have. You've got to look at it from God's perspective. In Romans 8:26, it does something very honest. It says, we don't know what we should pray for. We just don't know. And then it says also, it leads to the fact that we don't even know how to pray as we ought to, but the Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. When Jesus went back to heaven, he sent you the Holy Spirit that he might be with you, that he might teach you, that he might guide you into all truth. You would be in trouble if you did not have the Holy Spirit walking with you and helping you each day. How many of y'all agree with that? So when we think about what's our good or something for our good, we've got to think about what is God saying to me. You can't understand this verse unless you put it in perspective of what is God saying to me. When it says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, what is God saying to us? How do I take it in and how do I apply it to my life? I'm going to get right into this because a lot of us are probably at a point where we don't know exactly how things are going to work out. It's hard for us to figure out right from left. You've got a lot of information out there in the world, right? You could know it. You could watch every program on TV. You could watch every news feed that you have. You could read it on your phone and still be illiterate and ignorant. Hello? As they say in my hometown, ignorant. So you've got to know the right thing. Two men in the Bible had some information. One had information about wealth, and not only did he have information about wealth, he actually had wealth. We call him Dives. That's a Greek word that meant rich man. It's not really his name. You look in Luke 16, and you're not going to see the word Dives, and that's something we came up as, I guess, theologians. I just read it. Somebody said it, so I said it. But it means rich man. And there are a lot of people that are saying, give me the information or the knowledge about being rich, and I got it made. This guy had it made. But did he know that all things work together for good to them that love God? Did he know that? Had that ever entered into his mind? A lot of people say, if I had the right information, I could get all these resources. I could do all of this neat stuff. Man, I could just conquer the world. This guy had it. Dives. He had it. But then one day something happened all of a sudden. He died. You know what the Bible says about him? In hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. I wish I had about an hour to talk about that because a lot of people think that when you die, you don't have any feelings. Well, tell this guy Dives. He was in hell, and the Bible says he was in torment so much to the point that he said all he wanted Lazarus to do was to come over and dip his finger in water and then come over and drop it on his tongue. That's how much pain he was in. Okay? Never think, oh, when I die, it's all over. You don't know that. You ain't never died before. But I can tell you one thing, you will. You will. And when you leave, you got to have the certainty of knowing that all things are going to work together for good to them that love God, including death. Let's look at the other man, Lazarus. Poor as poor could be. Had sores on his body because of the lack of medical attention and hygiene. Sores all over his body. The dogs even felt sorry for him. And get this, the rich man wouldn't even give him stuff from his table. That's how bad the situation was for Lazarus. When Lazarus died, Lazarus, he was carried into what they called paradise by the angels, placed in the arms of Abraham, which is a symbol of being comforted. So you got one guy suffering who knew something, but he didn't know all things work together for good. Then you got the other guy who suffered all of his life, and you got good things happening to him because he knew that something good was going to come out of it. So what am I saying? You are somewhere between Dives and you're somewhere between Lazarus. You don't have everything, but you've got some things. And some of you are suffering. You're saying, man, I've had my share of ups and downs. I've had so much stuff go wrong in my life. You can rest on this assurance of this verse from Romans 8:28. All things work together for good. Watch the qualifier. To them that love God. You can hang your hat on that. All things work together for good to them that love God, who are what? The called according to his purpose. Somewhere in Lazarus' life, he had made a decision. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to believe in him. I'm going to put it in God's hand. When you suffer sometimes, you got to put it all. How many of y'all have suffered and you had to put it in God's hand? You took everything you could and you said to yourself, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I'm just going to put it in your hands. And didn't God take care of it? The fact that you are still here today, you're still living, maybe things are not as good as you want them to be, but thank God things are not as they could be. I'm so glad that the Lord has blessed. I tell you this because it's important that you know something. Information is critical. I'm one that believes that you ought to see a doctor at least once a year or twice a year. And I'm one that believes you ought to quit arguing with them. My doctor made it simple to me. She said, look, you can either follow my advice or follow your own advice, and you're taking a risk. You could die. I do know a little bit about it. And so I trust her. Thank God that we have people in the medical profession to help us stay healthy. Doesn't mean you're going to live forever, but it means that your quality of life can be improved. So I would suggest that everybody would at least go see your doctor once, twice a year, maybe even more often if you feel a pain. If you got good insurance, yeah, wear that insurance out. Why? Because you need to know what's going on in this body. I did something this morning. I was joking with him in the back. I stepped down off the stage like, I don't need no steps. About halfway through the thing, Larry, I figured out I better try to take the steps next time. Good information is critical. And the verse says, we know. We know. Another thing that I would do, just a little suggestion. I would have a financial checkup. Every year. What's your money doing? My daddy had a fifth grade education, Jimmy Coleman. But he told me something that I've never forgotten. He said, if you don't know where your money is, somebody else does. I said, wow. Fifth grade education, how about that? You need to have a financial advisor, somebody to tell you, hey, you're doing this with your money. You'd be surprised how you're spending your money. Now, you are spending it somewhere. Great day. Every time you fill out your tank, great day, where all that money go? You should know. If you don't know, you should ask someone. You need to have a spiritual checkup. Do you really know what you need to? That's the question today. I'm just going to throw that out there. You got a lot of thoughts, a lot of information swirling around in your mind. But can you depend on it to redeem your soul? Paul says in Romans 8, we know. We don't guess. We know. This guy had went through a lot of troubles himself, Paul. Paul had written a large portion of the New Testament, and we probably just look at it. Yeah, he wrote so many books, but did you know that he's probably responsible for most of the Christian doctrine that we follow today? While you have the Gospels that record the miracles and the life of Christ, they did an accurate job. The Holy Spirit used them to bring out what was in the Scripture so that we would know about Jesus. But then Paul was led by the Holy Spirit to write certain things so that you would know what to believe about the faith that Jesus gave you. He writes some statements like this one. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. You say, well, why is that important, Pastor? Isn't it interesting that right after the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that you have a book called the Acts? Isn't that something? So Christianity is not about having all these meetings or planning to do. Christianity is about doing. It's not about, well, I'm going to go to church today and I'm going to praise the Lord a little bit, then I'm going to go back home. Christianity is saying, put up or shut up. You don't read the book of Acts and where it talks about people just, well, they just sat around and had another meeting. They did. What I'm challenging you to do with your faith is do what you say you are. And part of that doing is knowing that things are going to work out. You don't land in the middle of a problem and then throw up both your hands. I don't know what I'm going to do. You do know what you're going to do. You're going to trust God. Hello? I'm preaching now, so y'all can say amen. Situations come your way and, you know, somebody makes you mad and first thing you do is throw off your religion rather than practicing what you know. If you know, then you ought to do. You ain't supposed to be cussing folk out like you crazy. Well, I just got upset. No, you need to get upright. I know I'm getting on your nerves. I know I'm supposed to be up here and talking about the Bible. But you know, in the middle of our knowing about God, we know other stuff. Our human wisdom, our knowledge, what we think is going to work out. Well, I looked at this thing and I lived along. Number one, you've never had the experiences in your life to where you know all things. Would you please admit that? Well, experience is the best teacher. I don't know where that lie come from. Well, yeah, I do. I know where it came from. It came from the devil. Experience is not the best teacher because experience has not experienced all things. Would you please admit that? Even you read about it. That doesn't mean that they knew about the situation that you're in. So human wisdom has its limitations. And you got to examine, well, where did it come from? Now, what I know is, did it come from God? If it came from God, the Lord's going to work it out. If it didn't come from God, then God is not in trouble. You are. Second thing you have to do about human wisdom, I'll tell you a little bit more about that in just a second. Will it work for good? What did our verse say? All things work together what? Come on, say it like you're not ashamed. For good. All things work together for good to them that love God. Is this thing that I'm getting ready to do, or I'm act on, because that's what we want to do. We want to act on what we know, because that's what Christians should do. Is it going to turn out good, or is it going to flop, and I'm going to be shamed? Got to ask that question. And the third thing, how long would it last? How long would it last? I said that because a lot of people are relying on their human wisdom to take them through this life. And human wisdom is always subject to this thing called distractions. Your cell phone. Your cell phone. What can I say about it? You always got your head in it. Some of y'all looking at it right now. Ain't paying attention to a thing I'm saying. You're looking at it right now. And now you're saying, Lord have mercy, he done called me out. But I was watching you online. You ain't got to watch me online. Here I am. Well, we have all sorts of distractions that come our way. And I made a couple of notes about it. Distractions are at every turn in life. And they can be considered alternatives. Let's just look at them as options. Let's just look at it as one big smorgasbord. Or, you know, when you go to the buffet line, you got a lot of stuff that you could get. Who told you that God's word and God's will is a buffet line? Who told you that? We have the distractions that come our way all the time. And I made this note in bold. Distractions can very quickly divert you from what is important to that which simply holds your attention. Let me say that again. Distractions can very quickly divert you from what is important to that which simply holds your attention. Not only do we have distractions, we have deception. Davies, the rich man, was deceived. What was he deceived about? He was deceived in thinking that material gain will get me into paradise. I don't know who told him that lie, but he believed it. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. In case you're wondering, is hell real? The one who wrote that or gave us that parable was Jesus himself. And I don't believe that Jesus just made it up to entertain us. I think he gave it to warn us. You better make sure that you're not being deceived. The Bible talks about it. And as a matter of fact, the Lord says that one of the signs of his coming will be great deception. Great deception. People will be deceived, and they're even thinking that they can call themselves Christ. I am the Christ. And they'll deceive not a few, but many. Deception is the, we might call the label of our time, because people think that everything you Google, and because it's, well, Google says it, but did God say it? Did God say it? Then there's a third area of human wisdom that is a weakness. Now, I didn't say you shouldn't know some things. I said that you can't depend on human wisdom for everything. Not only does it cause distractions and deception, but disobedience. Disobedience was the thing that got Adam and Eve in trouble. They disobeyed God. And if you're not careful, you can do the same thing in your life. I can do the same thing in my life. It doesn't have to be as blatant as, I'm just not going to do that. Let me take you to another passage in the Bible in Matthew 16. Peter had just gotten up and said, Lord, you're the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And a few minutes later, when Jesus began to talk about his death and suffering, Peter got up in Jesus' face and said, Lord, this is not going to happen. You are not going to go through that. And Jesus had to rebuke him because Peter disagreed with God. How many times have you and God gotten into an argument about something that was going on in your life? You said, Lord, this can't be you. Yeah, it was God. You may not understand what God is doing. You may not even feel good about what God is doing. But I can tell you one thing, you can depend on God that it's going to work out. In the garden, Jesus struggled. He prayed. What was he praying about? He was praying over the fact, he said, Lord, if there's any other way that this cup can pass from me. But then Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done. What will keep you from relying on human wisdom, the distractions, the deception, and the disobedience is when you start saying to God, God, I'm going to accept this. Because I know, and what was our key verse? All things are going to work out. You might be in the middle of it right now. You might be going through that situation right now, and you're saying to yourself, I don't know how I'm going to hold on. I don't know how this is going to work out. Sit back, do the same thing you do in your car, buckle up, hold on, because God did not bring you this far to leave you now. Don't make a decision that I'm just going to get out of the car and it's still moving. No. God's going to make sure that you reach your destination, that you get to the place in your faith. But Pastor, it's painful. Yes, and God knows that it's painful. He knows that it's a discomfort. But who told you that he leadeth me through the path of comfortness? He leads me in the right path so that I can reach my destination. And I know some of you are going through, I know it, because you've asked for prayer about it. But you're going to make it. Say that within yourself today. I'm going to make it. God did not bring me this far, and he did not allow me to suffer up to this point where he's just going to abandon me. No, that's not God. God is going